This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to Goodfellas Minute 23.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care.
Hello, welcome to Goodfellas Minute, the only podcast that analyzes the Martin Scorsese film Goodfellas one stuttering minute at a time. That might be the next minute. Oh, well. I am Josh Flanagan, and I'm here with Connor Kilpatrick.
Hello.
And Ron Richards.
Hello.
And joining us this week for the third day in a row is Tom Merritt.
Feel like I've been here longer.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
In a good way. In a good way.
Yeah. Tom is on a lot of shows, and if you're listening on Wednesday, I bet you know what they are, but let's just start with Daily Tech News Show and Sword and Laser.
That's
and
good.
Then you can go to where he is and find out more of that. I think you can figure it out. So, Minute 23 starts with palpable relief and laughter. And it ends with Tommy kicking Sonny in the butt, but in the middle is how we get there.
He kicks Sonny buns in the buns.
Yeah. So, Tom, what's your first thought on this minute?
I'd actually forgot that this happens right after the iconic scene. That was when I was watching this. I was like, oh, right. He goes right into, like, I'm not such a bad guy, I'm just joking around, to, like, bashing the owner of the restaurant in the head.
I really think that Sonny Buns needs to take some responsibility for his timing on this.
Blame the victim here?
Well, I am doing a little bit.
In Sonny Buns' defense, he's been standing there for quite a while. Like, clearly he comes over with the check at the beginning of Tommy's story, because he's there for the entire story for the past couple of minutes.
You know what? Still, I think that you have to be able to make the decision to pull the ripcord on that.
That might be helping Josh's case. Like, why wouldn't you just leave? Like, you know what? They're in the middle of the story.
This is not a good time.
He doesn't seem to have that sense of, you know, I don't think this is going to go the way I want to because of these extenuating circumstances.
No, he just dives right in. That's
pushes
the great
right
thing.
Through it.
That's the great thing. I mean, like, where everyone's laughing, and then he uses that opportunity to kind of lean in to be one of the guys. And
he laughs and go, oh, okay, everything's fine now. He has no idea that tension can remain.
This is actually a great moment here, too, because we talked a lot yesterday about how this was a moment in the film where the tension changes from sort of happy-go-lucky tone to the really scary tension, and then it breaks when Tommy reveals he's joking, but then it comes right back. So. Yep. This just shows you again how unstable this life is. Is that
well, and how weird is the contrast of when they think that Tommy seriously is offended about being called funny, everyone shuts up. Yep. When they see that Tommy is in fact bashing Sonny over the head with a bottle, they're laughing it up. Yep. That's just good entertainment.
Well, I think that's two things. One, it's not us, so we're going to laugh at him. And two, it's not us, so it's like... Yeah. The first time it was he might have pulled a gun on one of their crew. The second time it's just beating on a schmuck, a citizen.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what they get off on anyway. So.
Well, and there is the bit of tension. There's the moment when Sonny comes in and explains why the waiter doesn't want to come over and how much Tommy owes and that sort of thing. They cut to a shot of Henry and the other mobsters around him, and they're like, they're cautiously watching what's going to happen. You know, like there's that moment of which way is this going to go? And yeah, and he, you know, Tommy turns to violence, but it's not violence on one of them. It's on this guy that they all take for granted and stomp all over his restaurant. And therefore, it's funny, you know.
Their relief is based on the fact that he only hit him over the head with a bottle as opposed to shot him dead.
Yeah.
As we see later that he is capable of.
Right. Foreshadowing.
Didn't Sonny learn at this point to take the guy aside and tell him his credit card doesn't work?
So see, here's a couple of things that Sonny did. First of all, Sonny tries to blame the whole thing on the waspy waiter. What's that guy doing there, by the way?
Right.
The surfer guy.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, what's up?
I think he's in the driveway later in Queens. So first of all, he tries to blame, but it's got nothing to do with that. Because then he brings up the bigger tab. So first of all, he's like, oh, it's this guy over here. But really, we want to talk about the tab. Now, I want to quickly, we've been doing a little conversion here, and I want to talk about the real numbers.
All right.
That's the fun fact which you can take for this.
Okay,
one.
All right. So $7,000 in 1967. That's a pretty big tab for a restaurant, I think you'd all agree.
Yes.
That is the equivalent of $49,750 today. And he's right.
Jesus.
It's not peanuts.
So imagine that. So, yeah, so Sonny's comes over because the waiter, Tommy's tab is so big, the waiter doesn't want to ask him about it.
No. The waiter's scared of bringing the bill in the first place.
Yeah.
When Tommy says, just add it to my tab, that's when the tab comes up.
Yeah.
So the waiter wasn't going to come over the whole tab.
I think that Sonny told the waiter, take care of this, and don't let him put it on his tab. And the guy's like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Smart waiter.
The waiter's smarter than Sonny.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Although the waiter should be running the restaurant.
He does stand there watching it. Yeah. But just going back to the number, though, imagine spending $50,000 at a restaurant and not paying it. That's essentially what he did.
If you're a restaurateur, Ron, you're a restaurateur, correct? if you're a restaurateur, I mean, that doesn't seem to work budget-wise.
No. Yeah.
It's low margins as it is.
Yeah. So even if you take the profit out of it, you know, you're $30,000 in the hole in product.
Right.
That's a lot of steak and lobsters that were all stolen in the first place.
Yeah, there's no doubt that Sonny is right to say, hold on, I can't float this.
Right.
But you don't stand there through a story about being beat down and then a fake out where he might shoot somebody and then go, hey, let me talk to you about money in front of everybody else.
Right.
It's as if a close relative has just gone through like a thing of like, I have cancer. And then the whole thing, and then you go, you know that money you owe me?
Right.
Yeah. It's very much like that.
I mean, you think that it being a mob joint and you know, a place where they all hang out, Sonny knows not to do that in front of everybody. It's the respect. It goes to the, you know, the idea of, you know, you show these guys some respect.
I don't think they're smart men. I heard an interview with, I want to say it was Jonah Hill, I think. And he was talking about The Sopranos specifically. But he put it in terms of when he watches The Sopranos, he thinks of it like cavemen who live in the modern world, and that's how they react to everything. And that applies to this as well. They're just cavemen. They can't deal with concepts. They just get angry about things and break things.
Yeah.
And every time I'm watching this and I watch how they act, they're not making good rational decisions. They're just going. They're all id.
Yeah.
I mean, Tommy acts the most reasonably that he has in the past 3 minutes, which is to say, you know, let's talk about this later. Put it on my tab. I mean, Sonny should know, like, you know, I just need to go over Tommy's head. Tommy's not going to. I know Tommy. I just had a demonstration of who this man is. He's not going to reasonably settle the bill right now. Right. Like, I'm going to have to take other action.
Well, in Sonny's short time in this movie, he doesn't make any good decisions.
No, he doesn't.
So, you know, we got it's not, again, I'm blaming the victim, but it's a little on him.
No, that's later on.
And then later, Tommy responds when he responds to him by guilting him about the money that he spends in the restaurant. We spend a lot of money here.
Yeah. Look, what do you do? Yeah. Exactly. Wait, talk about what is that? What is that? The gaslighting or whatever that is? Or it's like, oh, I'm not the problem. You're the problem. We spend a lot of money here. You should be nicer to us. But he doesn't actually spend the money.
No, he doesn't.
Well, and I think Sonny is like reacting to the logical paradox, right? He's like, well, but hold on. I think if you'll just see reason, sir.
I think it goes like this. Tommy invites a lot of drama into life.
Well, that's the thing too. I mean, what's clear here is that this large meal of who knows how long that table is and how many mobsters, is Tommy like, yeah, it's on me? Like, is he being Mr. Big Man and saying, I'm buying dinner? Like, sure.
I think it was $700.
Yeah, they didn't split the check like we do now when we just, you know, divvy up our credit cards. You know, like it was one person would pay. And so we did every time they go to the bamboo hut, Tommy was like, yeah, I got it. Put it on my tab.
Apparently,
you know,
the last 10 times. That's why it's $7,000.
$700 for that meal would be $4,900.
Right, which is listen, I've been at a lot of decadent meals. It is very hard to spend $4,900 at a restaurant.
I'm gonna
guess
think
it does suggest that Sonny is overcharging.
So really, it's fair. What happens to him is fair.
I'm gonna guess that it's more like 70 meals as opposed to 7. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like this is back in the day when an entree was like $325. You know?
Yeah. That's the other thing.
At a non-mob place, it's $15 at the Bamboo Lounge.
And that's not like a fine dining restaurant.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get to that later, too.
Okay.
In 2 minutes.
Fair enough.
So one thing interesting here is that we talked before about how the young actor playing Tommy, we'll call him Hendry.
Hendry.
Yep. Here, the D makes its way back a little bit in some of Joe Pesci's line reading. So sometimes he calls him Henry.
Yeah,
and sometimes when he gets more agitated, the D comes back. Hendry, I noticed in this minute.
Well, this is the first. I mean, I can't keep track of what we're keeping track of, but this is the first utterance of "you stuttering prick," which I feel comes up later on in the movie as well too, in another scene. But this is our first making fun of someone for stuttering.
It's
low on their list of offenses, relatively speak. I know in today's world of not wanting to offend anybody and avoiding trigger warnings, but I'd even let that one pass if we could just lay back on some of the other things.
So we talked in the first couple of minutes about some possible foreshadowing about the mob and people turning on each other when faced with the authorities. Here, there's another reference to Henry, in which Tommy says Henry will fold under questioning, which is kind of what Henry does later. He doesn't fold under questioning, but he does give everybody up to the police. So another bit of foreshadowing to what will happen to Henry later on.
Spoiler, geez.
I've only seen 23 minutes of this movie.
I know. It's all blown. My observation is towards the end of the minute when Tommy grabs Sonny's tie and pulls him down, to his left is a mobster we have not yet seen who has really nice hair. Like this guy is, he's drinking a cocktail, he's got a cigarette, and he's got the 50s, 60s pompadour going on. I looked this guy up. Turns out his name is Victor Colicchio, and he's an actor, a screenwriter, a musician, a songwriter. He's done all those things.
I feel like I've heard that name.
Maybe.
You're thinking of Tom Colicchio.
Yeah, that's
him. I don't know that you could do $4,900 in a meal. I mean, it would be...
Well, not, you know, you could do it with really expensive wine, but these guys are drinking Crown Royal and Bacardi.
A lot of booze, But so Victor Colicchio co-wrote the movie Summer of Sam with Michael Imperioli of The Sopranos fame, and also is in this movie later on. So there you go.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that anybody listening to this did not need to have that explained to them. You can just say Michael Imperioli, and they'll all be like, mm-hmm.
So anyway, I like his hair. That's my point.
Fair enough.
Ron, any clothes in this particular scene you wish you owned?
Well, it's the same scene as yesterday and the day before.
Well, we didn't ask you those questions. I'm asking you now.
I still like the collars. That's about it. I like that guy's hair.
So I think that we're all waiting for something. And I know that we didn't get to it yesterday, but let's...
The fuck count got overlooked yesterday.
Let's
I'm sorry.
Check the fuck count. Where's the fuck count at now? Where are we?
So we promised Tom a lot of fucks, and we need to deliver.
All right, so yesterday's fuck count was... Oh, this is interesting. So yesterday's fuck count was 6.
Wow.
Today's fuck count is either 6 or 7.
Hmm.
Because at one point when Tommy chases Sonny into the back and Henry's laughing really loudly, it sounds like he says motherfucker, but I can't be 100% sure. So we have to make a ruling on whether this is 6 or 7.
I'll allow it.
All right, so it's 7.
Yeah.
So we got from 4 on Monday to 6 on Tuesday to 7 today.
Spiking.
17
and you touched on something just there with the fuck count that we glossed over, which is very aggressive laughing by Henry.
Very aggressive.
at the beginning of the minute, in reaction to him, Tommy screwing with him, like crying laughing to...
Well, because I feel like there's a lot of joy and I didn't get shot in the face.
Yeah, that's a relief laugh. And also,
definitely.
Psychopaths really like watching people get hit with bottles.
I mean, also,
they really
laughing,
seem to enjoy it.
He's probably
like kids and puppies
in his urine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, so anything else for this minute? Anybody else have any observations?
Not for this minute.
All right. Well, so Tom, we're gonna turn the spotlight on you a little. Do you remember the first time you've seen the movie, Goodfellas?
Yeah, actually, I didn't see it in the theater when it came out, and I don't know why. I don't know what reason, but eventually, I don't remember the exact year, and I don't remember what the release periods were back then. But somebody was watching it on videotape in their apartment over in Urbana, Illinois, when I was still in college, and I kind of came in after the beginning, maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes in, 5 minutes in. And I wasn't sure I wanted to watch it. They were like, oh, you got to watch this movie. It's great. And I'm like, oh, yeah, gangster films, you know. So I've seen The Godfather. What could possibly, you know, what could possibly be added to my experience of a mob film? And so they gave me a Keystone Light because that's the time and
wow.
The socioeconomic scale that I was living at. And I sat down, and it was this scene, this pastiche where Joe Pesci pulls that, you know, are you, what am I, a funny clown, that I was sucked in. And I was like, yes, this is interesting. This is different. This is a thing. And I just sat down and watched the rest of the movie right there.
So you made the comparison to The Godfather. Where would, if you had to choose one mob movie, would you choose this or The Godfather?
Wow.
I mean, that's our question, guys, by the way.
I feel like that's a trap question when you bring me on Goodfellas Minute.
Well, no, it's okay.
And ask me that, because I probably still have to say Godfather, but that is not an easy choice.
Yeah. Because that's the thing, is that quite often when talking to people, they get lumped in together because it's the same subject matter, but they're very different films.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This is an entirely different take. This is a realistic take. And The Godfather's great for filmic reasons. It's not trying to represent what it was like, really.
Right.
I'll go with that.
So much drama in The Godfather.
It's operatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. Way too much drama.
Yeah, way too much. Not as much humor. More humor in this movie.
You know what you need to do is cut
faster. What am I thinking? Yeah. Godfather is just all about drama. It's not funny.
See, that's my subtle mission in this podcast, is to get everyone to admit that Goodfellas is a better movie than The Godfather. It's my choice, at least. I don't know.
It's like, you know, it is like comparing Star Wars and Star Trek, though. Like, no. They're very different. But everyone feels like they have to pick a side.
No, I agree with that part.
Yeah,
I think you're right. Like, they don't seem to have anything to do with one another other than space.
Right.
Space equals mob, and all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bim, bang, boom.
Bing, bow, ding, zing. All right, cool. So, any other memories of Goodfellas, Tom, in your storied career in the past 25 years?
No, that was the big reveal to me. And I did go and watch it again later, obviously, to be able to see it from start to finish all the way through.
If you'd have shown up 10 minutes later, it may not have made any impact on you at all.
Right. That's an interesting point. Like if all of a sudden, like the next minute that we're about to see was where I started, I'd be like, oh, it's a boring thing about restaurant management. Oh, no.
Hey, listen, I think this is one of the most fascinating minutes, and you'll find out by tomorrow. So
just save it.
Come well, on, you're a restaurateur.
I'm a restaurateur, so that's why.
Of course you find it interesting. Plus, you have a comic store. Did you come in right at the beginning of the scene, or was it at a story time, or was it like in the middle?
No, it was about, I'd say, 10 minutes before this.
So you got a little bit of the 50s, the good life.
Yeah, and that's why I was like, I'm not sure. I got a beer. I'll watch it till I'm done with my beer, and that carried me through.
Like, it was funny because friends were like, just sit down. We already started watching this. You're going to have to be here for the next 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, and that was, you know, it was the weekend in college, right? Yeah. It's like, that's
what else is he going
to
do?
They had rented that and they had to get it back.
Yeah. Usually we were just watching Star Wars when that happened. So, yeah.
See, parallels rise again.
There it goes.
So that is going to do it for minute 23. Thanks again, Tom. You're going to come back. You come back tomorrow, you think?
You're going to have me back? I'd love to come back.
You're a funny guy. You can find him more about him at tommerritt.com and all the things that you can find there. You can tune in tomorrow for Minute 24, of course. Until then, check us out on Twitter at GoodfellasMin, on Instagram and Facebook at GoodfellasMinute, and you can find all of our episodes over at GoodfellasMinute.com. If you want to support the show, you can go over to GoodfellasMinute.com/support, where you can find links to our Amazon account and to our Patreon account. Tune in this Friday. We're gonna highlight Patreon. If you have any questions or things of note, you can email us at contact@goodfellasminute.com. And of course, check out our comic book website, ifanboy.com. Until tomorrow, I'm Josh.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Ron, and you're a funny guy, Josh.
Yes, stuttering prick you.
Or will I go from rags to riches? My fate is up to you.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.